What in the water? What in the water? What in the water? Moses had to put his foot in the water before God was perfect. And he spent all his money, and he was soon broke.
And he was desperate. Nobody would help him, and nobody knew him after his, all his money was gone. And so he ended up working as a farmer, feeding the farmer's pigs, which was kind of degrading for a Jewish man. And he just hated it. He was desperate. He was in despair. And then one day he came to himself, and he realized, man, I have really screwed up my life with what I have done. And I have disrespected my father. And he decided to go back to his father's home and plead his case, not as a son, but as a lowly, nameless servant. He wanted to work for his father as a servant. And so on his way back, the father saw him. He was far off, but the father saw him. The father ran to him, and he put his arms around him, and he kissed him, and he hugged him. And the son, of course, he hadn't rehearsed this, what he was going to say, right, in his head. Oh, Father, please forgive me. I'm so... The father said, no, none of that. Stop that. And he turned to his servant, and he said, bring me the finest robe, get a ring for his finger, sandals for his feet, and kill that fatted calf, because we're going to have a party. He has returned. And so while they were having a party, the older son, who had been in the field working, came in. He heard music. And he asked the servant, what's going on? And the servant said, your brother has returned and your father has given him a bite. Well, that went over like a lead balloon. So anyway, the father saw his older son standing outside. And the father came out and he says, join the party, your brother has returned. And the older son said, are you kidding? He says, you throw a party for this bum who just left us? We have to do all the work. And you throw the party, and I have worked like a dog, and you've never even given me a goat to celebrate my hard work. And the father looked at him and said, son, I am always with you, and everything that I have is yours. You must come to the party and celebrate. And that was the end of the story. The primary cause of suffering in our life is our misuse of freedom of thought, belief, and will. It is the result of our mistaken belief that we are separate from God. Unity interprets the Bible metaphysically. And for you newcomers, this may be kind of strange, and it is kind of strange, but just keep coming back, it'll make sense. This story metaphysically is about how our human personality, our personality traits, keep us from experiencing God's joy and our own divinity, and how God responds to that. Now, metaphysically, the father in the story represents God, the good, loving, forgiving parent. The two sons are two types of human consciousness, and they act out from a feeling of separation from God. The younger son's lust for passion and material things dominated his thinking. The older son's quest to feel powerful as a human being causes him to act in ungodlike ways, putting vibrational distance between him and God, metaphysically. A person who is into self-consciousness, sense-consciousness, focuses his energies on things outside of himself, such as people, places, materialism, and sensual joys that give him happiness and fulfillment. This chasing happiness through passion takes its toll after a few years, and we are left feeling empty. The younger son was feeling empty after his downfall, and he approached his father with remorse. Now, to correct his mistake, he was willing to be a lowly, nameless servant. How many of us approach God with trepidation, hoping for the least accommodation? Despite the fact that the son had spent all of his money from the inheritance, he did not know that he was still wealthy, spiritually wealthy by divine grace. Now, the older son represents people who are prideful of their own good behavior and have a high opinion of themselves, but are actually judgmental, unforgiving, closed-minded, and self-righteous. Now, even though the person believes themselves to be faithful, obedient, generous, and loving, they are filled with fear and see themselves as a lowly nobody. This consciousness harbors anger and resentment when others do not validate them or act in the way that they want them to. These people get angry when good things happen to other people, and they don't see the good things in their own lives. They blame others for not taking care of them and put others down to make themselves feel good. They feel neglected, unloved, and isolated, totally separated from God. Now the older son was angry at the father for being happy that the brother had returned, and for the father not celebrating the older son's hard work. How many of us approach life with anger, lashing out and blaming God or others for our lot in life, demanding something that we already have, but we don't know we have it? Let's talk a little bit about God's traits that Jesus tells us in this story. When the younger son wanted his inheritance while the father was still living, the father didn't say, "No, I'm not going to do that. You're young and immature. You'll just blow the money." No, he didn't say that. The father just handed over the inheritance. Jesus is telling us that God is a benevolent giver, and he has faith in us, despite our actions, our appearance. In Jesus' time, a father would never have run to his child, especially one that had squandered his money. Children were expected to come to the father. Now Jesus said that the father not only came to his son, but he ran to his son. Jesus is telling us that God is not a stiff authoritarian deity, but a loving parent. When the younger son tried to grovel before the father upon his return, the father didn't say, "You should be ashamed. Look at yourself. You are a disgrace." He didn't say anything like that. He said, "Welcome home. We're going to have a party and celebrate that you have returned." Jesus is telling us that God is eager to reunite with us, and he sees us as whole and perfect. When the older son was yelling at the father didn't say, "What an ingrate you are. I give you everything. Now get in that party and be happy for your grub. And if you're not, just act like it." No, the father didn't say that either. The father listened, and he heard the pain in his older son's voice. And he comforted him by assuring him that everything that the father had was his, and that the father would be with him always. Jesus is telling us that God listens, supports, comforts, and is ever available. Now, I invite you to do a little experiment. You're not going to have to share this with anybody, so you can relax. I want you to think about the two sons in the story. The younger son was focused on nonchalant, outer physical experiences to make himself feel good. The older son was focused on obsessive, inner mental thinking to make himself feel good. Do you relate to one of these sons more than another? Mm-hmm. You could relate to the younger son who is seeking solace in the peace of God, but you may not be sure if you're going to get it or not. Or you could relate to the older son who is seeking solace in the love of God, but you're not sure if you're going to get it or not. Or you could relate to both sons. So please close your eyes. And I want you to picture that scene with the son you relate to. But let yourself be the one receiving God's grace. Keep quiet inside. And with a humble, receiving heart, be still and open your heart to God. Allow God's grace and welcome, peace, and love to unfold you. God wants to lavish peace and love on you. Allow God to do just that. Ask for whatever you need. Affirm that it is yours right now by inheritance and grace. And believe that God is moving within you right now, comforting you, answering your request, loving you. For the next few moments, allow God to anoint you and bless you.
Now, when you're ready, come back to this present moment and open your eyes. We don't realize that God is good until we enter into the relationship with an open, humble, receptive heart. As long as we are happy living in our passionate, physical, material world like the younger son, we don't have need of God. And as long as we are living in our puffed up inner world of arrogance and judgment like the older son, we don't need God because we are acting as God. But as soon as we have suffered enough with these illusions that we create, and we come with an open heart to God, that's when the loving Spirit can love us and give us the kingdom of peace and love. Many of us, like both sons, believe that we do not have enough or that we are not enough. But God provides us with an infinite universe of abundance. The good is always available, but we must ask for it. Asking is a spiritual principle. You may want to write that down, Karen. And I'm going to say it again because it's important. Karen writes down everything. She used to be a shorthand teacher. Asking is a spiritual principle. We always receive what we focus on when we imbue our thoughts and beliefs with feeling and energy. When we ask with faith. Jesus said it himself many times. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened. And then he said, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you are receiving it and it is yours. So you might ask, if God really knows our need before we ask, like Jesus said, why doesn't God just give it what we need? Why do we need to ask? We must make a move toward God. Why must we make a move toward God? Because by taking action, we commit to our own welfare and our own growth. We become partners with God. Just like Moses had to put his foot in the water before God could part that sea. Love, peace, and joy, they don't just happen. Action is on our part is required. When we turn to God, we give God permission to love us. I'm going to write that down too. I'm going to say that to him too. When we turn to God, we give God permission to love us. We must walk toward the door. God's not going to barge in like an unwelcome relative, and I know we've all got at least one of those in our lives. To raise our consciousness, we must make decisions and commitments that are for our highest good. God has faith in us to make self-healing choices that is best for our growth. We are the same energy and power as God, because God made us. We are in his image. And God knows that we can claim it. He wants us to. If God did not give us a choice, we would be puppets. And we would not be the powerful divine co-creators that we are. That God created us to be. And that God needs us to be. We always have a choice. Choice, determination, and commitment are what makes us powerful divine beings. When we commit to being responsible for ourselves and choose to be partners with God, God pours out blessings on us. God's plan for us is simply that we experience and manifest as much of the absolute good, just like in the affirmation, that is ours according to our receiving ability. To receive good, we must turn to God. We must seek our spiritual home in order to receive harmony, peace of mind, and the good God has for us. Now, Sarah, can you put the next slide on, please? So the father begged the older son to celebrate his brother's return by attending the party. But Jesus didn't tell us if the older son attended or not. He left the story hanging. Why do you think he did that?
I'm going to ask you to get with another person and discuss why you think Jesus ended the parable like this. I'm going to give you about a minute and a half or 2 minutes to discuss this with someone else. So put your thinking caps on, go to somebody in the sanctuary here right now, and discuss this topic. Why do you think Jesus ended the discussion, the parable, like that?
What do you think?
What they came up with as to why Jesus didn't tell the crowd what the other son decided to do. Jane?
He wanted us to finish the story ourselves.
He wanted us to finish the story.
Yeah, how we were today.
Good idea. Anybody else have any? Liz?
We came up with the same conclusion. That it was because God always gives us the choice.
Okay.
So we have the free will to make our own decisions and decide.
All right, so they said the same thing that Jane did. Yeah.
I think he wanted us to look inside ourselves.
Look inside ourselves.
I think we all have said things, and then the next day we remember and we're sorry for what we said.
Excellent. Yeah, look inside ourselves to see what happened and what we said and what we can do about it.
Karen? And I think in that moment, as angry as that son was, he wasn't about to say, "Oh, yeah, Dad, you're right. I'm coming to the party." So thinking about if we're in that state that son was in, it's not likely that the idea of being loving and, oh yes, would come to us in that state.
So we need time
to
reflect on our own behavior and our feelings before we make a decision. Good job. Okay, you're now all LUTs. You all got it right. Well, I mean, in my opinion, you got it right. Now, I believe Jesus left the outcome open because he was telling our story. We must complete the story for ourselves. And it's not up to Jesus or God or anybody else to complete the story. It's our story. That book is our story. We all experience this loneliness and this abandonment, this feeling of not deserving, this feeling of being afraid to ask and to trust. We must step into courage and finish the story for ourselves. The younger son finished the story for himself. He became humble, asked for what he needed. And Jesus told us how God reacted, with love and welcome and celebration. The older son had not asked for anything. He was blaming God and his brother for his problems. We must finish the story for ourselves. Are you going to join the party, allowing God to give you your spiritual inheritance, like the younger son did? Are you going to stand alone, continuing to be sick with torment, torn up with resentment, like the older son was before he came to the party? In this story, no matter how either son acted, the father loved them unconditionally. Unconditionally. Every part of our human nature is blessed by the principle of good under all circumstances. God does not judge us. God loves us. It is up to us to turn to God and open our heart, to come back from separation, to receive the gifts of God that is waiting for us. We are all God's children, and we all have access to the kingdom of heaven. We have to let go of outer circumstances like the younger son did, and let go of inner emotions and beliefs like the older son needed to do, and hopefully did. We must come to a decision to stop looking for love in all the wrong places. I think there was a song written about that. We eventually come to ourselves. We change our thinking and our behavior, and we return to God, our true and only source. And God rejoices and celebrates our oneness, crowning us like kings and queens. Probably some kings here today. He crowns us with those divine powers of peace and love and grace and authority and power and divine understanding and all those other 12 powers. God, Abba, Spirit,
source, good, universal life force energy, whatever you want to call it. This is a divine flowing energy that is intimate, available, approachable, loving, forgiving, kind, and our benevolent, caring, and protective provider. It lavishly pours on us all luxurious, extravagant, abundant, opulent gifts, and we become open to receiving them. So let's move into meditation. Get into a comfortable position. Let's take a few moments to become still. Bring your attention to your breath. In and out. In and out. Steady, strong, bountiful, life-filled. Right now, right this moment, we claim our divine heritage, sons and daughters of the Most High Benevolence. We know you generously give all we ask. We see only the divine in us, the good in us, because you are all good. What a wonderful thing to know that no matter where we travel, no matter how far down into the pit of hell we may have dug ourselves, divine upholding spirit is there with us. And if spirit is there with us, no matter where we are safe indeed. So let's take a short time to commune with our deepest core of peace and love. Silently give thanks for the bounteous blessings God bestows on us, just because God is love and loves us. For the peace, love, and joy we may have received in this moment of contemplation, we say thank you, God. Dearest Abba, we love you, we bless you, we appreciate you, and we bring peace and love to all those you place on our path today. Amen.